I have a confession to make. I have an addiction. An addiction millions, if not billions of you also have. I'm hooked to this, my mobile phone. Mobile phones are one of the most disruptive technologies ever created by mankind. We check those mini computers about 221 times every day. And across the world, more people have access to a mobile phone than a toilet. I'm Charlotte Kahn, an inquisitive Xennial, and in this episode, I am talking to the man who worked on the team who launched the first ever SMS service in the UK and managed to link the devices to the internet. That was a watershed moment. His name is Ben Wood. He's chief analyst and CMO at CCS Insight and founder of the Mobile Phone Museum. Welcome to Xennials. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Charlotte. Great to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here on this podcast, not only because you are obviously very knowledgeable about mobile phones, but because your own professional biography, the highlights of your CV really reflect the key milestones of the industry within the 1990s, the decade, really. So, Ben, your journey in the mobile phone sector began in 1994 when you left university and joined a slightly obscure company based in Newbury called Vodafone. Tell us more.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I ended up in the mobile industry, which has become just such an important part of my life by complete accident. I left university. I'd had a fantastic 4 years there. I'd spent a year traveling by virtue of the benefits that we have of being able to go in those days out to Europe and work for a year. I was working for a technology company. I came back. I applied to any company where I recognized the name in the hope of getting onto a great graduate program. And a funny little company in a small town called Newbury, west of London, offered me a job on their graduate program. And that company was Vodafone. But not only did I end up working at Vodafone, I ended up working in a division of Vodafone called Vodata, which is the division that went on to launch text messaging and the ability to connect to the internet on a mobile phone. So it was an absolutely game-changing time in technology, and I was extremely lucky to start my career there.
It sounds like it was very exciting, really, to work on this pioneering program. Did you have the sense at the time that you were working on something very special that was possibly going to change the world?
Mobile was exciting. Mobile phones were exciting. They were getting smaller. They were becoming more accessible, more affordable, though still very expensive. But the important thing and the reason why it was exciting was we were at the cusp of this transition from an analog to a digital world. We were moving from the first generation 1G analog technology to 2G, GSM, digital technology, which made it possible for phones to be much more than just something that you were able to talk into. And it was the beginning of that transition from what I would call was a voice interaction with a mobile phone, something you held to your head, to a visual interaction with a device. And of course, that just started with simple things like text messaging, but you were going beyond voice. Did we have any idea what we were doing and what we were unleashing on the world? Absolutely not. We had no idea what impact something like as simple as text messaging would do in terms of its impact on society. And let's not forget now, those mini computers that we have in our pockets, those smartphones, they all rely more than anything on that internet connectivity. And that was part of the technology. I was on the team that was being launched at that time.
Ben, in the 1990s and early noughties, owning a BlackBerry was the epitome of cool. So what happened to the brand or the company? And what does it show about the history of the mobile phone industry during the 1990s?
Well, I think it's remarkable. I mean, if you look at the journey through the 90s, you started at the beginning of the decade where you had still analog technology, brands that people wouldn't have even heard of now, like NEC, were making mobile phones. There was a beautiful product, the NEC P4, for example, which was a really iconic product towards the end of the analog era. Motorola were still massive. Ericsson were a big player. So there were these brand names which now have virtually disappeared, or certainly Nokia and Ericsson have certainly diminished massively. And then, as you point out, we saw that evolution in terms of the design of devices. BlackBerry as a movement, BlackBerry as a technology, just started to arrive at the beginning of the the end of the 1990s, and then it grew into this phenomenal entity. And everyone was addicted to this concept of having a QWERTY keyboard in your hands. That started very much with a business and enterprise focus, allowing business users to be able to unshackle them from themselves from their desks and to be able to send email on the move anywhere, anytime. But then when consumers absolutely, you know, the Xennials that you focus on so much were able to get this powerful device into their hands, they were able to send messages, and BBM, the BlackBerry messaging service, was phenomenally important as a way to communicate. But of course, what happened was the disruption of Steve Jobs coming along and understanding that the world was going to be slightly different. You weren't necessarily going to have these very capable but more basic devices available. You would have devices that were smarter. And he ridiculed the BlackBerry at the launch of the Apple iPhone in January 2007. So it was sometime in the future. But he said, you know what? You don't need that keyboard anymore. You just want a nice big screen. Use all of that real estate and get rid of that QWERTY and use your finger as the stylus to drive that device.
The two stories you have just been sharing with us of BlackBerry and Apple, the iPhone, are very interesting because they reflect the fact that we start with a device, a handset, technology, and it turns into a cultural movement almost, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And there are other things to talk about as well. So, you know, BlackBerry is one brand, Apple is another. But let's not forget, in the 1990s, it was the ascendancy of the Nokia brand. And it was so dominant during that period that you didn't really talk about what brand of phone you had. You talked about what model number you had from Nokia. Did you have a 2110 or a 3310 or a 5110 or a 6610 or a 7210? Yeah, there were all of these different devices, and Nokia were very dominant and also very ambitious in trying to push the capabilities of the mobile phone forward as well. So we moved into an era where, as I said, we moved from this voice to visual interaction with the device. We started texting on devices, which led to BlackBerry and being able to type emails quickly and share information. But cameras arrived on devices as well. So we were able to share moments in very different ways. A picture can paint 1,000 words. We started to see the ascendancy of things like citizen journalism, where everybody had a camera in their pocket at some point towards the end of the 1990s and early 2000s, and they were able to take pictures on the move. Quite remarkable and a game changer from a societal perspective.
Ben, you are obviously very passionate about the mobile phone industry, and that's why you started this project, the Mobile Phone Museum. So tell us why you decided to gather this collection of old and unusual handsets. What was the genesis behind it?
So it's really interesting because it's very much woven into the story of my career. Back when I was at Vodafone in the late 1990s, there was a transformation going on. The business was changing. It had been very engineering led. There was still a function for that, but it was becoming more marketing, sales and business development. The offices we were working in were changing. And in many of the offices that Vodafone had, there was a little kind of workshop where things would get repaired and things soldered together. They were no longer needed. And there was a day while I was working in the office where one of these little workshops was being dismantled. They were carrying everything out of the office to put into the skip to throw away. And I saw this guy carrying out these big old mobile phones, transportable devices from the 1980s. And I just said, don't throw those away. They're a very important part of social history. I'm going to start collecting them. I started picking up these phones and I carried on collecting them. That went on for obviously quite a long time. In 2012, I decided that I needed to think about how I would present that project and registered the mobilephonemuseum.com domain. And then later on, I had so many phones that I really felt as though I needed to create an entity and set up the Mobile Phone Museum charity as a way to safeguard that collection, as a way to look after all the phones that people had donated or we had bought, and also to create a charity that could be a force for good in terms of telling that story Making sure people could see this incredible design diversity, some of which you can see in the room here with me. It's all around me, some of these amazing phones. But also to take some of that technology into schools to hopefully inspire some of the engineers and designers of the future to understand just how amazing the time they'd lived through and the innovation that we'd seen in mobile phones in terms of the physical design and the services that they could offer had on society.
Ben, I do hope that one day you can reunite me with my first ever mobile phone. If I remember correctly, my parents gifted it to me as a student in the, maybe for Christmas, around 97 and 98, and having grown up in France, of course, it was an Alcatel One Touch, a yellow one, I think, and it replaced my pager, because let's not forget, before mobile phones, we had pagers. Mine was a Tam Tam, developed by France Telecom, of course. Do you remember your very first mobile phone and how you felt when you received it or when you bought it?
Well, the first mobile phone that I got to use was actually my mother's mobile phone, which occasionally I'd borrow, a Nokia 101. But my first mobile phone was the Nokia 2110. And that still holds a very special place in my heart because that was one of the really breakthrough devices on the 2G GSM network. It was one of the first phones that could send and receive text messages. And it was a phone you could connect to a laptop and you were able to connect to the internet. So absolutely incredible device and a device that through its capabilities really does tell that story on how mobile phones have changed the society we live in, have changed the future direction of mobile phone technology and how those capabilities, particularly mobile data support, has become such an important part of how the mobile phone and the smartphone is used today.
Ben, could you reflect further on the contribution of mobile phones to society? They've had a huge impact on us humans, haven't they? They've really reshaped societal norms and our understanding of connectivity. So what's your take on this? How did they change the world?
Well, the first thing that the mobile phone did, which is something to, you know, it's quite intriguing when you think about it, is it made communication shift from trying to get in touch with someone at a place to being able to actually connect directly to an individual. So, you know, before the mobile phone, if you wanted to ring someone, you'd ring a fixed phone. You know, people would have those in their homes. It would be in the hallway or the kitchen. And you would ring that number, which would be a household or an office if you were trying to get hold of someone. And then you'd try and get hold of that person. What the mobile phone did was transition that connectivity from, as I say, a place to a person, and it became a very personal way of communicating. Then we saw the evolution into other areas, and you know, the mobile phone has been a force for tremendous good, but also there are some downsides to the mobile phone. But in terms of the good things about the mobile phone, it helped the economy. You know, it made it possible to do business wherever you were. It helped people to socialize. You know, you didn't have to worry so much if you wanted to meet up. You could have a lot more flexibility and a lot more fluidity in terms of planning things, ad hoc catch-ups, those sorts of things became a lot easier. But of course, it also brought information to our fingertips. It allowed us to do, transformed into now, really something that's the remote control for our lives. And think of all the devices that we had in the early 1990s that have been replaced by the mobile phone. Your Walkman or your MP3 player, the handheld flashlight torch that you have in your hand, your maps. You don't have a PND, personal navigation device, bolted into your car anymore. You can use your phone. It's your bank. It's your internet connectivity. It does so many different things. The radio, the TV, all of that has been subsumed into the mobile phone. So it has touched every dimension of our lives in terms of the capabilities and technology that it's delivered.
Ben, you are not just the guardian of old mobile phones. You are always keeping in touch with new developments across the sector. So I'd like you to tell us about new trends you have identified that may be of concern or exciting ones. I mean, where is the future of the mobile industry heading to?
Well, it's a question I get asked a lot, and I get it asked a lot in my, you know, my main day job as a technology analyst at CCS Insight. But it's a tough one because we had this Cambrian explosion of innovation on the mobile phone, which saw it transition from the the big, you know, brick that you spoke into, to this more capable device where you could send text messages, connect to the internet, you had all these other different capabilities. We then had the iPhone moment in 2007, and we moved towards this dominant device of a black touchscreen rectangle, which I personally believe will continue to persist for a very, very long time. Look at other products like the television, the washing machine, the car. You know, they haven't actually changed that much once that dominant design has been established. Now, we are starting to see some quite exciting things in terms of design. So the advent of flexible display technology, which is now allowing us to have phones with more interesting designs that fold in half to make them smaller, or can fold open to give you a tablet-like experience. But in terms of the underlying technology, obviously a very hot topic right now is artificial intelligence and the way in which that's going to be able to enrich the experience that you get on that mobile phone. And I think that that's an area we should be looking at with some optimism, but also some caution. I also think the intersection of healthcare and connected technology is absolutely one of the most exciting areas that I see. And I believe there's a real societal imperative that we go down that route, particularly with the adjacent technology such as smartwatches, which are able to do things like, you know, constantly monitor your health and look at your kind of heart health, or look at other aspects. And in the future, potentially new clever sensors that can track your glucose level or your blood pressure. And you can start to look at much more preventative medicine, which is something that I think is going to be super, super important. And in terms of the mobile phone itself, as I say, I think it won't change massively, but we will see other technologies coming along. And smart glasses, as someone who wears glasses anyway, are something that excite me fantastically in terms of the vision to augment, or the ability to augment my life through images and information being presented into my direct line of sight, albeit probably still connected via a mobile phone.
Ben, finally, as this podcast is dedicated to Zennials, this microgeneration between Generation X and Millennials, I was wondering if you miss anything about the pre-mobile phone world.
I look at the pre-mobile phone world, and there are things that I miss. One, I miss the fact that the mobile phone kind of didn't exist to some extent, that it's become such a distraction in our lives. And I'm more guilty of that than anyone. So, you know, I find it very, very difficult to put my phone down. I find it very, very difficult to disconnect. And I really should try and work harder at that. You know, this whole concept of a bit of a digital detox is something that we could all learn something from. I also think that there have been some aspects of society that have been diminished to some extent. So much as I said earlier that I think that, you know, the mobile phone has given us some freedom for, you know, ad hoc meetings and those sorts of things of kind of, you know, seeing people whenever you want, I also think it's made people a little bit lazy. And, you know, things like timekeeping, people don't worry about as much because they go, well, I'll just ring them and say I'm going to be a bit late. And I think it's created some of that laziness. The other thing is, I do think for younger people, it's put a kind of barrier between in-person kind of interaction and kind of that personal connection you get. I always, you know, recall things like if I wanted to go and play with my friends in the pre-mobile phone era, I'd have to go round to their house, I'd have to knock on the door, I'd probably have to have some kind of interaction with their parents and then actually talk to them. And it was very good from a kind of personal development perspective. Whereas now I could just be standing outside the house, drop them a WhatsApp message and say I'm outside and off you go. You lose some of those little moments that, as I was growing up, were very kind of important in shaping how, you know, my outlook on life developed.
All right, so it's time then for a Zennial quiz. Okay, so Ben, your favorite album of the 90s?
This was really tough, but the one I'm going to go for is U2's Acton Baby, which was right at the beginning of the 1990s. I was lucky enough to see U2 several times during the 90s, and I was just blown away with what they delivered with the Acton Baby album and Zoo TV later on, both of which delivered a kind of visual overload of experience going to a concert and just music that really excited me and I really still love listening to now.
Your favourite film of the 90s?
So having picked an album from the beginning of the 90s, I'm going to go right to the end of the 90s and say that my favorite film is The Matrix. And the reason I love The Matrix is obviously it's an amazing technology film. It is probably the film that is the best example of explaining why artificial intelligence is absolutely terrifying, because obviously it was an artificial intelligent sentient being that created The Matrix and enslaved the human race. But it also features some very iconic moments with a mobile phone, the Nokia 8110, which obviously intersects very well with one of my own personal passions.
Hold on, Ben, don't go too fast, because next I'm going to ask you about your favorite gadget of the 90s.
This was really hard because I was trying to think about a gadget that wasn't a phone, but I have to go back to, you know, the gadget that changed my life professionally, shaped my career, helped me gather an interest in a technology which has gone on to be so good to me, was the Nokia 2110, the phone I spoke about earlier, which was that first phone with text messaging and data support. And honestly, it shaped so much that's gone on in the future that I really think that's the one.
Your favorite book of the 90s?
I've got such an embarrassing answer for this, Charlotte, which is I didn't read any books in the 1990s. I'm just not.
I was going to ask you, Ben, I was going to say, with all the time you were spending on that Nokia, did you have any time for reading? That is a shocking reply.
It's an absolutely shameful response. And honestly, I didn't read any books. I even had a look to see what were the big books of the 1990s. And I think there might have even been some Harry Potter or stuff like that in there as well. I don't know what your other guests have necessarily chosen, but I didn't read any books in the 1990s. I have had my life transformed by the audiobook. And I have read, in inverted commas, more books in the last 5 years than in my entire life. And it's been fantastic. I love it. And it's another example of technology making my life easier, but I just didn't read any books. Isn't that shameful?
It is indeed. I'd like to say otherwise, but no. But you've redeemed yourself by the sound of it in the last 5 years. All right, let's move on then. One word to describe the 1990s.
Well, I'm going to cheat here because I'm going to have several words. But I'm going to say, when I first thought about this, I was thinking about words of the decade. And the first word that strung into my mind was wicked, because that seemed to be a word that was, it's wicked. That was always something that was a term that was used in the 1990s. And another one was sorted, which was also a word that seemed to be very popular in the 1990s. But my sensible answer to your question is optimistic. What an amazing decade. What an amazing decade for me. I started as a student. I jumped into an amazing career in technology, which has given me a career which has spanned, you know, multiple decades now. And I ended up at the end of the 1990s, having successfully got a degree, started an amazing job, had another job, and become a homeowner. It doesn't get better than that. So optimistic is the word I'm going for.
Well, I like this very much. Was it a good decade, Ben? The best ever? Have things changed for the worst?
I think it was a fantastic decade. I mean, for me personally, it was a phenomenal decade. And as you are discovering and you are sharing and you're helping people learn about, what a transformational decade as well. That shift from an analog to a digital world is just something that is very, very hard to explain to people who weren't born and weren't living in that time. And I think it's remarkable. Who knows whether we're entering a new era now with new technologies, with artificial intelligence, very hot topic right now, with everything that's being discussed in the media and everything else. Could that be another revolutionary time? But for me, the 90s, I think, is almost a forgotten decade. And I think it's a wonderful decade. And I'm so pleased that I was able to be part of it.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you. Fantastic topics. What a wonderful decade to reminisce on. And really hope I can join you again in future.
Absolutely. Thank you. So that was Ben Wood, Chief Analyst and CMO at CCS Insight and founder of the Mobile Phone Museum.